Amen. Thank you, singers, for blessing our hearts. Instrumentalists, awesome job. God bless you. Thank you so much. If you have your Bible today, I'd like to ask you to open to Luke chapter 10, and we'll look at verses 38 through 42 that I read a little earlier. I say a welcome to those of you watching in the modern service. Thank you for tuning in as well, and I hope today's message is a challenge for you, for me, for all of us today, and those online as well. We have been sharing a four-part Sunday morning series on the four D's to spiritual growth. We talked about first was desire. You got to want to. The second was discipline. You have to make time to. The discussions, that was last week. You have to engage in conversations with others about the gospel in order to grow. And then, of course, today is the distractions to growth, the distractions to growing spiritually. We need to understand what they are and what we need to do. Let's look again in 38. Luke 10, 38, they were traveling along. Jesus entered a certain village, Bethany, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was moreover listening to the Lord's word seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. And she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about, and bothered by so many things. Only a few things are necessary, namely, only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Distractions to your spiritual growth. Join me in prayer. Father, help us to realize today what the distractions are, how real they are, and the urgency of our prioritizing the main thing as the main thing that we might grow in our faith. Lord, help us to realize this is important. Help us to listen and not be distracted. In Jesus' name, amen. A distraction is something that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. Now, some distractions a football player can't control. When an opposing team member, a fan in the audience shines a laser in a quarterback's eyes. That's actually happened in some football games. Or throws a snowball on the field as the field goal kicker is attempting to kick the extra field goal. That's happened before. Or runs onto the field clothed or unclothed. That is a real distraction. Some distractions you can control, such as what you do the night before the Super Bowl. That's why teams have early curfews on the night before the Super Bowl, and they have evening curfews every night for the entire week before the Super Bowl. Matter of fact, NFL coaches arm themselves with flashlights and hotel master keys, and they will tiptoe around the players' rooms to make sure they're in bed by curfew. There's a no visitors rule the week before the Super Bowl, and each team has security guards to enforce the policy. One player said NFL coaches are notorious control freaks, and they do whatever it takes to make sure their players are focused. The NFL, tragically, is full of stories of those who perform poorly in the Super Bowl or didn't play at all because of pregame distractions. Bengal fullback Stanley Wilson was suspended before the game because of cocaine use. Definitely a distraction. Oakland Raiders got beat in the 03 Super Bowl because their starting center, Barrett Robbins, went to Mexico the day before the game and did some drinking. Raiders quarterback Rich Gannon said they played awful in the Super Bowl because teammates broke the curfew to go out drinking that night. Matter of fact, former Eagle player Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens, they won't even speak to each other because Owens said that McNabb went out drinking the night before the Super Bowl and actually threw up in the huddle. McNabb said that's not true. Most teams have a pregame curfew of 11 o'clock. Tom Brady says his curfew is 8:30 before a ball game, so he can be rested and ready for the game. We old folks need our rest. Seattle Seahawks center Jean Perret said, "You have the pregame curfew for a reason, and that's to take care of distractions and keep everyone's mind focused on the goal." One thing is certain. Coaches for Tampa Bay and Kansas City will be doing all they can do this coming week to make sure their players are not distracted. Remember again, a distraction is something that prevents someone from giving their full attention to something else. If a Super Bowl game demands players remove distractions, shouldn't our spiritual growth and walk with God as well? Paul told the Philippians, "This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I'm going to remove all the distractions so I can keep the main thing as the main thing." Funny how NFL players know what the main thing is the week before the Super Bowl, but many believers do not. The writer of Hebrews made it clear what the main thing is, challenged us to leave the elementary teachings about Christ and press on to maturity. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Move on to the next step. Progress in your faith, in your growth. Don't stay where you are. Keep going. Keep growing. Move on up. Kick it up a notch." Our grandson started walking this past week unassisted. He's 13 months old. And this past week, instead of just pushing a little toy cart around the house, he turned loose and walked to mom, and then he walked to dad, then he walked across the room, then he walked all over the house looking in all the different rooms. He was so excited, he knew he'd done something big. And we were a little concerned by the fact he was distracted with always just hanging on the push toy, never going to turn that thing loose. This past week, he did. He turned it loose. Christian, it's easy for us to get distracted by all the other things, even good things, and stop growing in our faith. Today's passage reminds us of the dangers of distractions and the importance of that one thing that cannot be taken away from us. The story of Mary and Martha and Jesus reminds us it's time to turn loose of spiritual distractions and move on in our faith journey with God. The first person in the story today is Mary, who was devoted to Jesus. Mary, who was devoted to Jesus. Look in 38 and 39. "As they were traveling along, Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into their home. She had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's words seated at his feet." John's gospel tells us the village was Bethany. And it also says that the two sisters and their brother Lazarus were good friends of Jesus. Martha prepares the meal while Mary sits at Jesus' feet to listen to his teaching. Mary was listening. After all, no one ever taught like Jesus did. He taught as one having authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. This scene here of Mary listening to Jesus there in the living room as he taught takes me back to my seminary experience at Mid-America Seminary in Memphis at Poplar Avenue location downtown. After chapel, we'd go to lunch and we'd all try to crowd around Dr. Roy Beeman at the lunchroom table. Dr. Beeman was a scholar scholars. He worked in 38 languages other than English. The joke was he could pick up a rock and read it. Man, I miss hearing him. "Brethren," he'd say, and then he would tell us something profound. He taught archaeology, systematic theology. I had the privilege of taking that from him. Dead Sea Scrolls, Rosetta Stone, Hebrew, Greek, lexicography, the manuscripts of the Bible. He taught at New Orleans Seminary 22 years, Mid-America Seminary 20 years. He was one of the founders of Mid-America, known as the Four Horsemen of the Seminary. And the other three were Dr. Gray Allison, Dr. Phil Allison, and Dr. T.G. Ferris. Dr. Gray said he wanted Dr. Beeman to be one of the founding professors, so some of his knowledge would just kind of ooze off on the rest of us students. Someone on a Baptist forum asked if anyone ever had the privilege of taking Dr. Roy Beeman as a professor. I didn't reply, but I'd only had the joy of taking him as a professor. I had the joy of sitting with him at the lunch table for many, many days, listening to him as he talked while we ate lunch. Same was true for Dr. Charlie Culpepper, who taught missions, part of the Shangtung revival of the 1920s and 1930s. He was about 90 when I had him, and he was part of that revival. He wrote the book literally on the Shangtung revival. He and his wife would take the elevator together where we stayed at that same apartment, the Skyline Apartments. And we'd go down the elevator together and walk together from the apartments over to the seminary. And I remember sitting at the lunch table with him, hearing him talk about the Shangtung Revival. Now, what's more important, hearing him tell firsthand of what God did at the Shangtung Revival or eating my vegetable soup and cornbread and two crackers and a glass of water for under a dollar? It's amazing how I still remember what I had for lunch. Thankfully, I could do both. But when it really got good, I had to stop eating and listen. Well, that's the attitude Mary had. Nothing was more important than listening to what Jesus had to say. You know, even Larry King, who recently died, was not a believer in Jesus, was asked, "Mr. King, what one person would you interview in history? If you could interview any one person, who would it be?" Without hesitating, boom, he said, "Jesus Christ." And I would ask him if he were virgin born. "Let me help you out." "Yes." But at least he recognized there's no one person more important in time and history and eternity than Jesus. And that's exactly what Mary understood. There's no one person more important in time and history and eternity than Jesus. So she made it a priority to hear him and listen to every word he had to say. Should we make it our priority to do the same and hear the words that he's spoken? Friend, this not only affirms the importance of teaching the Bible in worship and Bible study and hearing it in person, online, but even beyond corporate worship and small group Bible study, there's the priority of personal Bible reading and devotions. We have to make time for spiritual food and rest. NFL players make time for physical food and rest. Christian, we need, perhaps now more than ever, now more than in my lifetime, a biblical worldview on what the Bible has to say about all the great moral issues of the day. This past week, Dr. Robert Gagnon, New Testament professor at Houston Baptist University, expressed an opinion on his Facebook page that could be dangerous anymore, but it was an opinion, and basically he said, "An executive order that lets males invade women's athletics and shelters is pseudoscience and forces people to reject basic biology." Facebook, for that, suspended his account for what they called an incitement to violence. Now, for the record, this professor didn't ask for any violence. He didn't incite any violence. He didn't ask for any violence at all. He just expressed a biblical worldview opinion that transgenderism rejects basic biology. Now, by the way, you don't have to have a biology degree to know that it does. And for the record, I have one, and it does. Christian, in times like these, we need to know what the Bible teaches. We need to know what a biblical worldview is on the moral issues of the day so we can speak to them from a biblical perspective. Mary wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. We need to know what Jesus said. And there'll be 1,000+ things that pull us away and try to distract it from reading and knowing what God's Word says. But we need to be able to put the distractions away and stay devoted and stay focused and committed like Mary. Wayne Cordiro is pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, Hawaii. He recently went to China to train Christian leaders in the underground church there. They have a lot of evangelicals. I think it's 22 million are part of the underground church. And so after this pastor flies to China, he and the 22 leaders rode a train for 13 hours to meet in a small 700-square-foot apartment building with no air to sit on hard wooden floors. And there, for those 3 days, Pastor Cordero would teach these Chinese leaders of the underground house church from 2 Peter how to be devoted Christians when the government persecutes you. My goodness, I think I would feel unqualified to do that thing. The 22 leaders went to the apartment. They had to go one at a time or in couples so they would not draw the attention of the guards. This is an illegal meeting. As the pastor began teaching, he asked them a question. He said, "How many of you 22 leaders have been in prison for your faith?" 18 raised their hands. The pastor said, if we were caught today, what would happen to me personally? They said, "You'll be deported in less than 24 hours and you'll never again be able to return to China." He said, "What will happen if we're caught to you? What's going to happen to you?" They said, "We will go to prison for 3 years. That's the standard thing. We'll go to prison 3 years. The pastor handed out 15 Bibles to the 22 students. He asked them to open the 2 Peter. And immediately one of the ladies who got a Bible handed it to the one next to her. And the pastor said, you don't need a Bible?" She said, "No, that's 2 Peter. That's one of the ones I have memorized. I don't need it." He said, "Where did you find the time to memorize the books of the Bible?" She said, "In prison." The pastor said, "Wait a minute. You mean they don't confiscate Bibles there?" She said, "Yes, they do. But people smuggle Bible verses in on little pieces of paper. And as soon as you get one, you quickly memorize it because they cannot take what's hidden in your heart." Wow, they cannot take what's hidden in your heart. And so from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. for 3 days, Pastor Wayne taught the book of 2 Peter to these 22 students in a 700-square-foot, that's small, apartment as they sat in a hot apartment, no air, on a wooden floor. Finally, at the end of the three-day study, Pastor Wayne asked them, how can I pray for you guys? How can I pray for you? And one man said, just pray that we can be like you and have financial freedom of worship. Freedom of worship. And Pastor Wayne says, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want you to be like us. The guy's jaw dropped. His eyes got big. What do you mean? Pastor Wayne said, you guys rode a train for 13 hours to get here. In my country, if people have to drive more than an hour, they won't come. You sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if they have to sit over 40 minutes, they'll leave. You also sat on hardwood floor 3 days, no air conditioning. It's been hot. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, they don't come back. In my country, we don't have an average of two Bibles. We have an average of two Bibles per family, and most people don't even read them. You hardly have any Bibles, but you memorize them from little pieces of paper. He closed by saying, I'm not going to pray that you become like us. I'm going to pray that we become like you. 22 million evangelical Christians in China, and perhaps more than even here in the U.S., I don't know. These believers, by the way, in China, let me say this real carefully. These believers in China are not our enemy. These believers in China are our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our compatriots. I mean, they're part of who we are as a church family. They are risking going to prison for the cause of Christ, and so they're meeting every week in underground churches. And still they read, they meet, they memorize, they worship in a government culture that's hostile to their faith. It's because, like Mary, they're devoted. They want to grow. It matters. It's the porterhouse on life's plate, not the parsley. It's the priority. And nothing distracts these believers from listening to God's word. Nothing. Nothing. Mary was devoted. But Martha was, well, distracted. Verse 40. Martha was distracted. Verse 40. Isn't this great? But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. And she came up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me. The word here for preparations gives us our English word deacon, a servant. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet listening. Martha was distracting, preparing the meal for them to eat. Now, in her mind, in Martha's mind, somebody had to prepare the little fish, and somebody had to prepare the bread, and somebody had to get the fish and dates and figs and everything ready. It had to be prepared. You couldn't go to a drive-thru and order it on Grubhub. It just wouldn't happen. And so while Mary listened, Martha prepared and Martha served, and she worked. And the more she worked, the madder she got, because her sister didn't lift a finger to help. Now, many of you can relate to Martha, because you know if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. Food doesn't just magically appear on the tables, right? I see ladies' elbows going like that. It doesn't happen. Somebody has to prepare it. So Martha prepared, Martha worked, Martha served, and the more she did, the angrier she got. Her sister wasn't even helping at all. Martha was diligent, dedicated, but she was distracted. Now let me just say to those of you certainly that have the gift of service, what Martha did was good. What she did was good. Preparing a meal for Jesus was a good thing. It wasn't the best thing, it's a good thing. Distractions aren't bad things, they're good things that pull us away from the best thing. Sometimes our choice is not between good and bad, it's between good and best, and better and best. When you were in school, didn't you hate those multiple choice questions that were neither right nor wrong, but you had to choose the rightest of the three, or rightest of the four, the righter of the two, whatever, you get the picture. You had to determine not what was true, but what was more true or most true. Here's an example from the Sky Prep college preparatory thing. Here's an example of one of those kinds. See if you can get it in the modern service, all right? Listen. Which of the following are fruits? Answer one, apples. Two, oranges. 3, apples and oranges. 4, neither. So what's your answer? Shout it out loud in the modern service. What's your answer? Here. You're right. You're right. It was C. An apple's a fruit, an orange is a fruit, but it asks fruits, plural. Technically, C is the most correct of the three. Now, I would argue, this is the kind I would have gotten wrong and have to argue with the professor after class about. I would have said, well, wait a minute. The options were apples, plural, not apple. Oranges, plural, not orange. And so it can be one or two or three. But I'm here to tell you, that's when the professor would say, no, you're wrong. Sit down. Okay. The question is not which is correct, which is the most correct. And that was the big issue raised by Martha's act of service. Not was what she doing good, it was good. Preparing food for Jesus, that is good. Preparing for others is good. She was preparing and giving the best food she had, not old cold leftovers. I mean, it was the good stuff, the best spices. She had the fine china out. It wasn't even Chinette paper plates. But the issue was not good, but best. What Mary was doing was better, and Jesus said it was. Listening to His Word, learning from His Word, that's always better than good things. Now, what are some good things that listening to Jesus and learning from His Word is better than? Well, going to school is a good thing. Hear that carefully. It's important to go to school. That's a good thing. If you don't graduate from high school, it'll be harder to find a good paying job. College, trade school, military, those are good things. But if you don't have them, it might make it harder to find a good paying job. Did you know a job is a good thing? The Bible says if a man won't work, don't let him eat. Houses are good things. You got to have a place to live. Cars are good things. Transportation is important, though in most other places in the world, it's motorcycles and public transportation. Recreation, education, prosperity, sports, they're all good things like Martha's service. To be commended, they are just not the best thing. Can you imagine having Jesus in your living room, teaching, opening the Scriptures, letting them know it is to Him all the prophets bear witness, and you're not there to hear it because you're in the kitchen washing potatoes? Martha was in the kitchen. She missed it. She missed it. She didn't hear it. Now, many of you here in this building are old enough to remember where you were July 20, 1969. I'll give you a clue. It was a Sunday. Remember? July 20, 1969. Let's see. What happened that night? The moon landing, right? The moon landing. Remember the old black and white images on television? Man, we had a color TV. I was at my uncle's house. They had a color TV. We were watching on black and white because it was beam, live from back and white. And I love that little banner at the bottom, live from the moon. Wasn't that cool? Live from the moon. As that moment, as Neil Armstrong prepared to step off that last step, this is one small step for man, did anybody get up and go make popcorn? I'll be back in a minute. I got to take Fluffy outside. She's not gone all day. I'm not going right now, just a minute. Matter of fact, if I was a betting man, I'd say there wasn't a single flush in America. That's all I got to say about that. I mean, in that space of time before he stepped off the ladder, no one left. Nothing else was as important as watching it. Yeah, you can watch the video, return video of it now. But to watch it live as it happened, well, 9 minutes away, whatever it was, the time delay, whatever that, I think it's not that long, it's 9 seconds, whatever it is. It was a moment that could not be repeated or recovered in history once it happened. And once it was done and over, it was gone forever. Washing potatoes, cutting fish, getting dishes ready, that's a good thing, like getting popcorn right before he stepped on the moon. It was a distraction to the main thing. When good things crowd out the best thing, we swap the most important for less important. When you don't spend the time reading your Bible and growing and learning and listening to God's Word, Friend, realize that's time you can never get back. It's gone forever. Forever. Now, God gives us do-overs, and I'm glad that He does. But realize that even when you get a do-over, you'll lose ground and not be as far ahead as you would have been had you done the best thing the first time. And that's what we need to do. The best thing. Spend time reading God's Word, meditating, memorizing, thinking, praying. And that's what Mary chose to do. She chose listening to Jesus. Martha chose preparations. Number three, Jesus was delighted with Mary. Look in 41 and 42. But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. But only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." When I hear Jesus speak those words, "Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her," I hear that little Chinese lady answering Pastor Wayne's question, "Why do you memorize the Scriptures?" Answer, because they can't take what's in your heart. They can't take what's in your heart. Why did Mary choose the better choice? Why'd she choose the better part? Because you can't lose what's hidden in your heart. Once it's there, you got it. And it'll be there forever. I calculated it up since I started driving back in 1976. How many cars have you owned since you got your driver's license? How many you ever put a number to it? Don't do it now, but just one of these days. I've had 10 cars. I can call them all out. Now we're down to 2. 8 of the cars are gone. They're gone. I'd love to know where they are. Wouldn't you love to know who's driving, where that first car you had is, who's got it, is in a junkyard? Wouldn't you like to just go see it for old time's sake, hug a steering wheel? No, I'm just kidding. 8 cars are gone, but the Scriptures I've memorized in my heart, in my mind, it's still there. You ever considered how many places you've ever lived? Since I was born, I've lived in 11 places, 12 counting seminary, and now we're down to 1, just 1. Since it turned 15, 8 months, I calculated how many jobs have you ever worked? Have you ever figured out the number of jobs you've had? I counted 10. I've worked 10 jobs. Now I'm down to 1, and for the record, I like the one I have. But the Bible truth I've learned and memorized over my lifetime, it'll never be taken away from me. In my life, I've had immediate family members die. I've given away clothes and furniture, and some of it I've sold at yard sales for a dollar. Would you take a quarter? Yes, I will. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away." I would love to know what Jesus said to Mary in that living room. Wouldn't you love to know the truth that He told? As Martha washed potatoes and fumed and made bread, really what Jesus said died with Mary. Now Mary hopefully told Martha what Jesus said, but even if she told her sister, it might not have been exactly what He said or with the same expressions and tone of what He said. And even if she relayed exactly what Jesus said, it wasn't told to Martha by Jesus. And that moment could never be recovered. Martha lost the greatest moment in her life because she was distracted by a potato, gone to get the popcorn while Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. Learning and growing in our faith are like playing in the Super Bowl. You might get another chance for a do-over later. You might get another chance for a do-over later. But when later comes, you'll be older. And you might not be as sharp as you were the first time you had the opportunity as you are right now. I mean, that's just life. The older you get, the carbuncles don't work as well as they used to, right? And so we need to make sure we use the opportunity to study and learn and grow now while we can, because that opportunity may not be there later for whatever reason. Somewhere in Florida right now, in Tampa, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are sequestered in a hotel. I think they got to check in tonight in hopes of keeping them safe from sickness and stupidity. That's really what it comes down to. 1 week before the Super Bowl, Bruce Arians makes them check into the hotel. They have to be sequestered so they won't do something stupid and be out in public and get COVID and not be able to play. Here's the bottom line, friend. Not all the players in next Sunday night's game will have the opportunity to play in a Super Bowl for the rest of their life. They get one shot. Most of them will get one shot. Whether they'll be distracted or not is the big issue by things that happened this week. I hope they don't get distracted. I hope they don't get their priorities wrong. And I pray we won't either. Because our commitment to the Word of God and learning it and growing in it and reading it and memorize it is more important than a Super Bowl game. It really is. Join me in prayer. If you're watching online or if you're here in the audience and you've never invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, let me remind you that Jesus died to keep us from going to hell. He shed His blood on Calvary's cross so we might be redeemed, have our sins covered, forgiven, so we can be as if we never sinned in God's sight. But even though all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, the good news is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He offers eternal life to all who receive, but as many as receive Christ, to those He gave the right to be children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So as you're listening to me this morning, if you want to call on Jesus for Him to be your Lord and King and turn from living for you and turn to living for Him, a prayer will not save you, but the conviction of your heart that He is the Lord and deserves first place, that will. And so if you want to silently pray where no one else hears something like this, silently, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sins separate me from You and will keep me out of heaven forever. Please cover all my sins with the blood of Jesus so I can be in Your sight like I'd never sinned at all. I believe He rose from the dead and He has the right to be King of my life, so be King of my life. I commit to being His faithful follower and disciple starting today. Would there be one this morning that would raise their hand and say, Pastor, I prayed that. I meant it from my heart. Today, for the first time, I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. Would there be one? Maybe you hear Christian, you'd have to say, Lord, I've not been spending time in Your Word like I should. I've not been reading it, learning from it. And I want to prioritize it today. I want to be like Mary and listen and learn and not get distracted by other things. Christian, if you'll pray that, God will hear you and help you to reestablish some priorities in your life. Father, thank You that while service is important, sitting at Your feet is more. And let us not lose the focus of that event. God, thank You for letting me share Your truth today. And Lord, I pray that You'll bless everyone here and those who hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you watching online or you're here in the building, I'm available to talk to you at your invitation. If you have a question, a need, if you think I have a spiritual question about my relationship with God, that's why we're here. I'll be happy at your invitation. You can call the church office, talk to me after the service, send me an email, whatever it is. Church membership, if you'd like to be a member of Scott Lake Baptist Church, we'd love to have you part of our fellowship. Give me a call, talk to me, and I'll share with you what the next steps are for that, all right? I want to thank you for your being here with us and being with us online and in the building. Hope to see you back tonight online.